Parsha Vayetze is the parsha of building the family of Yaakov Avinu, where 11 out of the 12 tribes are born, as well as Dinah. When we look through the parsha, we note that obviously the major people, individuals whom we learn a tremendous amount from and focus a tremendous amount on, are clearly Yaakov Avinu and his wives Rachel Imenu and Leah Imenu. When we read through the Chumash, we also know that there are two other individuals who seem to be more off on the side, but yet also play a crucial role in building this Bayis B'Yisrael, and they are the Shvachos, Bilhah and Zilpah. Bilhah, Rachel Shifcha, who gives birth to Dan and Naphtali, and Zilpah, the Shifcha of Leah, who gives birth to Gad and Asher. And what we're going to struggle with in Mirtz Hashem today is what is their role? And as Rav Yudid, as well as many others, asked this question, he says in source number 4, Shnei Shvachot Nitru LeYaakov Aydei Mahod UbeMitzvatan. These Shvachos were given to Rachel and Leah, were given to Yaakov by Rachel and Leah. And we know that Vashvachot Yadu Lo Arba Mina Shvatim, and a third of the Shvatim came from these women. Mikan Shekach Ratzta Shechina, and it's clear this is what the Shechina wanted. Aklal Nakut Biyadenu in Korim Imahos Lalala Arba. But yet, we have a concept that there's only Gemara Brachos, three Avos and four Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. So on the one hand, their children are part of Klal Yisrael. Right? Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher have chelek and nachala, a section and portion, like everyone else. And yet their mothers are not considered one of the Imahos. So how do we to understand their role? How do we understand, how do we view these women? In order to better appreciate the background and the dynamics, let's take a look at a number of the psukim that are found in Perek Lamed. Parak begins where Leah now has already had four children, and Rachel Imenu turns to Yaakov and says, Havo li bani v'mayim esa nochi. And Yaakov Inu gets very angry and he says, Am I in place of God, Hashem anami mechpri batet, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? And she said, Here is my maid Bilhah, marry her that she may bear upon my knees, and I too may be built up through her. And Rachel Imenu gives Bilhah, her maidservant, as a wife. Yaakov Inu marries her, and Bilhah has these two children, one whose name is Dan, where Rachel said, God has judged me. He has also heard my voice and given me a son. The second one is Naphtali, which is also about fighting, about being equal with my sister. Then Leah saw that she stopped giving birth, so she gave Zilpah, her maidservant, and they had two kids, Yaakov with her, Gad and Asher. Then we have the story of the Dudaim, of the flowers. We've spoken about this in the past. And Leah is with Yaakov Avinu, and she gives birth to a child whose name is Yisachar. And the reason in Pasuk Yud Zayin, source 2, is God has granted me my reward because I gave my maidservant to my husband. So why is Yisachar, who was one of the greatest of the Shvatim in learning, called Yisachar? It was a schar. Right, we would think it's a schar for the Dudaim, for the mandrakes. No, it's a schar, the Chumash says, for giving over her maidservant that she now has this child. And she has another child, Zvulun. And only then, Kadosh Baruch Hu, then Dina is born, and then Hashem remembers Rachel, and Yosef HaTzadik is born. When you read through these psukim, and as we've spoken about in the last number of weeks at length, we know that we can't read through psukim on a simple level. We have to understand the depth in them. And this is a perfect example, because if we were to read through the psukim on a very superficial level, it almost seems, and we can't even say such a thing, like there's some type of tachavut, some type of race going on. Who can have more kids? Well, if I can't have a kid, I'll give my maidservant. Well, if you gave your maidservant, I'll give my maidservant. It's obviously not what's going on here, and we need to understand what is going on here. We need to understand what is the role of the maidservants. We'll say at the outset that what is the backdrop of all of this, as the Art Scroll Stone Chumash points out in 9 through 13, knowing prophetically that Yaakov was destined to have 12 sons, and that seeing that she had stopped giving birth, Leah gave her own maidservant Zilpah to Yaakov as a wife. She did not have the motivation of the barren Rachel, but both righteous sisters had one thing in common. Each wanted to have the greatest possible share in laying the foundation for God's chosen people. Their goal was to have a part of this great mission which they saw, and that was building the foundation of Klal Yisrael. And this is the idea that Rachel Imenu herself says when she gives over Bilhah. She says, Ulai ibanem imena, perhaps that, and I too will be built up through her. The idea of being built up, Rav Hirsch notes so beautifully when the same phrase is used by Sarai Menu and Hagar. He says in Source 6, Ibana, in a spatial sense, Bana means to add stone to stone, to erect a dwelling place in which a person can develop and lead a full life. The Bayit is a sphere in which people carry out their activities and lead their lives. Just as there's a Bayit in the dimension of space, so in Hebrew language, there's a house in the dimension of time, namely the period of time in which a person or a nation or any other generation carries out their activity. Every child that is born is, true to its name, a ben, a building block. Through the child, the parents continue to build the edifice of humanity and of the nation. They, too, make their contribution to the edifice in laying upon it their own personalities and unique accomplishments. Beis Yisrael, continuing on the next page, the house of Israel includes all the generations that realize the totality of this ideal. All of human history is an ongoing work of one great building. Hashem is a master builder. Every human being and every generation are the building blocks. They, too, work on the building. Each person in his own place in cooperation with his fellow man. As we say in the Sheva Brachos, V'hitkin lo mimenu binyan adayah. That's the blessing, to continue to build this building into eternity. And a childless couple drops out of the building. One layer goes no further. Nothing is built upon them. The Sarah says, and the Rachel Imenu says as well, perhaps I will be built up through her. Perhaps through her I will attain a child. If I give you my maidservant, I will have the privilege of educating the child. And though the child will not take after me physically, he will take after me morally, and a spiritual development will be attributed to me. In this way, I will inlay myself upon the house and time, and will live on through the child and his descendants. With the Imahos HaKadoshos wanted so desperately to do was to be part of this Binyan Adayat, part of this building of all eternity, to be able to build this Bayis Naaman, to be able to build this this edifice. And this is indeed the first level of the two levels, and even though we'll see today that the two levels are really blurred into one level, one deeper than the next, but we'll still divide it into two. This is when Rachel Imenu on level one says to Yaakov Avinu, Havali banim v'imayim esanochi, give me children, otherwise I will die. And Yaakov Avinu's response is, did I stop you from having children? It's not. I've had two kids. I have four children. It's not my problem. It's your problem. And when we read these words, we almost ask ourselves, what Rachel Imenu wants to do is something so beautiful. She wants to be part of this binyan. She wants to be part of this edifice. Why does Yaakov Avinu respond with what seems to be such harshness? So the Mefarshim bring down the Drash David quotes as well, that Yaakov Avinu had something very specific in mind. And this is very similar, although it's later in history, with the story of Elkanah and Hannah, where Hannah goes up for 19 years to daven with her husband for children. But we only find the 19th year that Hannah really davened. What took her so long? Hannah had many opportunities, the bracket in 8, to pray at the Mishkan, the Malbi Mass, as she did this time. Why didn't she pray and take the oath years earlier, when it could have saved her years of heartache? It must be that before this time, Hannah was incapable of offering such a prayer. It was only now, the Malbi explains, after hearing the gentle rebuke of her husband, Elkanah, that she found it within herself to pray with such intensity and purity of her heart. Until that time, Hannah had relied on her husband to do the praying for her. as she knew that he was an outstanding tzaddik, one of the Gedolei Hador. She did not feel helpless. She felt that there was someone else who would fight her battle and evoke the divine intercession that would endow her with a child. Once Hannah heard that Elkanah, so to speak, had given up, that she couldn't rely on him, then she knew the only one she could rely on was Hashem, and now her fate depended solely on her prayers. And likewise, Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin in the Pe Kadosh in Parshat Shemot in Source 9 explains, likewise, Klal Yisrael only scream out when the new Paro ascends the throne. Why? Because in the back of their minds, the Jewish people were saying, okay, this Paro's bad, but there'll be a new Paro one day, and he'll be better. When the new Paro wasn't better, Klal Yisrael realized, this isn't getting better, and we can't rely on political means. There's only one thing we can rely on, and that is Avinu Shema Shemayim. And this was Yaakov Avinu's approach. Following this line of reasoning, it may well be that Yaakov Avinu was assuming that Rachel Imenu felt dependent on the merits and prayers of her devout husband. He wanted to bring her to pray to Hashem from the depths of her heart with a clear understanding that only he can help her, he being the Ribono Shel Olam. In order to influence her to stop depending on his participation in praying for her, he told her, Hashem has not withheld offspring from me. It was as if he was saying, for me, this is not such a burning issue. I, Baruch Hashem, have children. And Yaakov Avinu hoped that his reaction to her plea would spur Rachel Imenu to realize that her fate lay completely in Hashem's hand. And then she would pray to him with all her soul and with all her might, and this would bring her own salvation. And in fact, Chazal teach us that the prayer of one who themselves is in a desperate situation has a special quality that can't be found for anyone else who's praying. We saw it by Yishmael, Basher, Husham. And we must place our trust totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is, as the Datraga points out, this is what Rachel Imenu notes when she says, Danani Elokim v'gam shama b'koli. That Hashem, in Source 11, has judged me and has listened to my voice. He hasn't given me a child through my own, but he has heard my voice, he's heard my plea, and my maidservant has been able to have this child. And it's a recognition that what has enabled her to have this child, even albeit her maidservant's child that she's raising, is the koach of tefillah, the power of prayer. And that this is a theme that runs throughout these psukim. How Naftali is about this struggle with tefillah, Sfarim point out that Leah Imenu had most of the tribes because in the end of 11 Leah Amda also Zatekef Mitzatchalata from the beginning she understood that the only way to have children is through tefillah, as the Sefer Neshel Solom in Source 12 points out. It was through Leah Imenu Davening that Zilpah should have children. That Zachtof Leah Lutosefet Bunim. The Arei Perush Rabbeinu Bechaya Bil Shono Vidim Sei Lameid Ki God Vashir says Rabbeinu Chaya. Lo Al Pi Amidos Nikru El Al Shema Tfila. Ubekorach Tfila Chitpala Bagad Nitan La Yisachar and the Tfila Ba'asher Nitan La Zvulun. That we know that the koach of davening, where the imahos didn't only daven for their own children, they davened for Bilhah and Zilpah to have children. And it was the koach of them davening that they were blessed. Leah davening for Zilpah to have God and Asher, she was blessed with Yisachar and Zvulun. Rachel Imenu for davening to have Dan and Naphtali, she was blessed with Yosef and Binyamin. The entire section, if you had to almost understand what is at play here, it's not, God forbid, as we begin with some type of struggle, who can outdo who. It's a struggle in tefillah. It's a struggle in being able to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be able to build this Bayis Neman, to be able to be successful in this quest. Ah, if this is true, then where is the place of the Shvachos, our original question? So just daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you children. So the Sforno notes, and we'll take a look at the Sforno on a different level in a number of moments, Mirtz Hashem, the Sforno notes in 14, Rav Chaim Friedlander quotes in Siftei Chaim, V'ibanegam anochi mimenu shebekinat yera chaverti yitorer teva kleyazera lepulata. When somebody else has a child, right? Like in this case, you know, you bring in the maidservant, she has children, that's going to awaken something within you that you too will have a child, a certain jealousy, a certain desire. And indeed, we know, and this is brought later on in source number 39, that there's a skula to have children is to adopt. And we've known that the skula, we've seen it over and over again, happens over and over again. So that Rachel Imenu, by taking in Bilhah to have a child, was saying that I can't, Hashem, I'm davening the best of my ability, but davening isn't enough. I need to do some type of ishtadlus, in this case, semi-like adopting a child, and that will be my ishtadlus in order to be able to, that Hashem should listen to my tefillas. And we learn from here, says the Sifte Chaim, in 15, Muvuar b'zeh yisod gadol b'avados ha-tefillah. We learn something tremendous about tefillah from this section. She'yachad im tefillah tzarih gam ken lasod hishtadlus. With tefillah has to come hishtadlus, has to come some form of effort on a person's part. Tzarih adam lasod emashe b'sharuto lasod. You have to do what you need to do. With this ishtadlus, with this sort of speak, natural offer, one needs to daven. Well, hold on a second. On face value, that ishtadlus making my own effort seems to contradict tefillah. Why? Because in tefillah, I'm turning directly to Hashem that He should help me. And ishtadlus, I'm turning to another person as if this person is the one who's going to help me. So which one is it? Is God going to help me? Or is this doctor going to help me? Or this financial analyst going to help me? We're seeing here that there's no contradiction between the two. But they are rather interlinked. And this is what Yaakov Inu said to Rachel. You need to do some type of ishtadlus. And that will be the medium from which the tefillah is answered. And indeed, the Sforno notes on the Pasuk in 16, if I score Lukim at Rachel, and God remembered Rachel, and He heard her, and He opened her womb, says the Sforno, what did He remember? He remembered how desperately she tried to have children through giving over her maidservant, through the story of the Dudayim. And then Hashem listened to her voice that you need to have hand in hand with the tefillah vayiskor Elokim to remember, well, what have you done? And hayasoda nal shatfilah mo'ila mitkabel od yacham reishtadlus ro'im zod kamur b'leidata shivteka. This is mevodat ha'emunah. This is what emunah is about, the balance between ishtadlus and tefillah. And Hashem gave us many ways where we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And one of them is to be able to use the Darchei HaTeva, the ways of this world, the doctors, the financial analysts, whatever it may be. But recognize, Shelo Darchei HaIshtadlus Polim, Lo Kefi Koach HaIshtadlus Kach Yatzlacha B'Vchina Koch Yivotzim Yadi. But it's not that because you did that, it's that cause that allowed you, it's that doctor who saved you. No, Hishtadlus has to be done. That's why Hashem set up the world. We'll talk about why in a number of moments with Hashem's help. But that's why Hashem set up the world. But recognize that it's not because of the Hishtadlus, the effort that we've been blessed. It's rather because this is Ritzon Hashem. Omnam yisod v'shorosh l'chol drachei hatzlacha, the double underline in 16, is tefillah. So yes, you have to make your effort, and Hashem wants us to make our effort, but we have to realize and not get lost from where our salvation comes from. And this is something that the Sifte Chaim, in its chelik, in Midos of Rat Hashem, chelik Beis in 17, points out. He says, quoting the Ramchal, Derech Hashem, Shelo yirbev ishtadlut yeter al amidah shetzarich la. When we have to do ishtadlus, we have to do the bare minimum. We don't have to bring in 15 wives. One wife. This is one thing that has to be done. But recognize that it's not about going overboard. Because if you go overboard, yesh takanashi po b'choshech achur miyut, v'drachek me'arosh al shem isbarach, because you can get so caught up and during your Ishtablus that you forget that you that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. You forget about Tefillah. You forget about really where your answer is coming from. And here the Siach Yitzchak echoes this when he says in 18 that Klamar Shadavar Gorem L'Choser Menuchas HaNefesh Ba'Olam Hubnei Choser HaInyan Hazeh Shidat Amitit Shakol Kasher L'Kol Ma'Hashem Hu Kefiat Zato Nifla'a V'Chachmato. Where we get lost in this world and why we're not Rakua, calm, cool, collected people, but we're hyper and crazy and neurotic on so many levels, is because we forget that everything comes from Hashem, and we think we're in control. Well, if I'm in control, well, my friends, there's no end of what I can do to make sure that I'm in more control. I can go to more doctors, I can do this, I can do that. You know, someone recently was saying to me that she had a friend who, whose mother was sick, and she took her to the doctor, and she, you know, did whatever she thought needed to be done, and then the mother died. And this person, and this is a very common story, was overcome with grief. Well, if I take her to another doctor, and then another doctor, and I tried this, I tried that, maybe she wouldn't have died. You know, obviously we have to do our best. No one's talking about negligence here. But if a person has done their best to try to take care of somebody and gone to what they believe is the best apiverach hateva options available to them in their whatever issue it is, then at some point you have to say, I have done my best. This is in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands, as the Ramban says in the asterisk in 18, Hakzeira emes v'acharitzot sheker. What Hashem wants to happen is going to happen, and all we're running to doctors, if Hashem doesn't want it to be, it's not going to happen. It's not going to save the patient. And this is where we get lost, and this is where the tension comes in. That yes, Kadosh Baruch Hu set up the world that we need to be able to be involved in our hishtadlus. But the key and the focus of our lives has to be tefillah. Rachel Imenu Zilpa and Leah Imenu bring in Bilhah Zilpa. But at the same time, they're davening for themselves as well as for Bilhah Zilpa. The focus is on tefillah. There is the element of Ishtablus, but it has to be with tefillah. And Kasher 19, the asterisk in the circle, Shekasher Yudi Osek Bishtablus Zemave B'Tefillah B'Kasher Rachami Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yechavein Maaseh Yadav V'Tefillah Yivzot Sheyesh B'Kocha Chutz M'Lekayim Et Gzeirah Gam Lifol B'Shamayim B'Gzeirah Atzma. That you have to daven that the Ishtablus that you do is the correct type of Ishtablus. And that tefillah is the only thing that is really going to change Gzeirah. Now, why is it that we need to have Ishtablus at all? If tefillah is so, is the beginning and end of everything, it's a realization that we're in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. So where is the place of Ishtablus? Why bother even going to doctors? Just daven. So obviously there's a lot of ink spilled on this question. And we've dealt with this in the past, but I'd just like to highlight here a piece from Rav Yisrael Salomon Shlita, Mashgiach of Lakewood, with Hearts Full of Faith, source 20. In addition to these two fundamental reasons, Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler Michta Eliyahu offers yet another. Effort also serves to give the appearance that a person's livelihood is a result of a natural process. We find throughout the Torah that Hashem clothes miracle and natural clauses as much as possible. For example, the wind blew all night before the splitting of the Sea of Reeds, although it could easily have been split simply by Moshe raising a staff. If a person would earn his livelihood with no effort other than prayer, it would be an unmistakable miracle. Therefore, we clothe our faith in the illusion of effort. This is part of the Nisayon, my friends. This is part of the challenge. This then, continuing Rav Masi Shel Salomon, is why we have to make an effort and cannot rely completely on faith. We do not have to exert an effort because God needs our assistance. God's perfectly capable of giving us all that we need, just as He provides food for the ravens. We have to exert an effort in order to perform all sorts of mitzvahs that we wouldn't have had the opportunity to encounter otherwise. We have to exert an effort in order to have a fighting chance in the battle against the evil inclination. In other words, we have to exert an effort in order to accumulate the merit we need to gain God's blessing. We have to have faith that all blessings are in God's hands alone. And we have to make the effort so that we will become purified and worthy of receiving those blessings. So we see two ideas here. One idea is that we need to do Ishtadlus as part of our Nisayon, to realize that it's coming from Hashem and not from our actions. And second, the Ishtadlus is what Hashem wants us to do to gain merit, the act of Ishtadlus, in order that we should be Zoche for a Bracha. How can we test ourselves in an honest moment if we indeed have the proper perspective on faith and effort? So he says, look at the way we balance prayer and effort. Sometimes a man runs into a synagogue, says his prayers quickly, then he's out the door to be rushed to get to the office. If he had a major business meeting with an important prospective client in the morning, of course, he would not be in such a rush to bring the meeting to a close and get back to the office. He would understand the meeting is more critical to success than any task waiting for him at the office. But he's no patience for tefillah. Obviously, he considers his effort to be the primary cause of its success. He relies on his own effort, but he also goes to shul to show Hashem that he also plays some role in his business. So he gives a passing thought to his upcoming business meeting during Shemoneh Esrei at the appropriate blessing, even while he's asking God to help him at the meeting. What is he also doing? He's also considering different ways to persuade the prospective client to sign on with him. This man has supreme faith in his own efforts. He expects that his talents and cleverness will bring him success. But being a good and faithful Jew, he also believes he could use a boost from God. A little help from heaven is always welcome, especially when you're dealing with such a difficult client. 22. The man that has real faith, however, will invest all his efforts in his prayers. He understands that blessings come directly from God, that his efforts are no more than an obligation, a condition for success, rather than a means to achieve success. He prays with all his heart because he knows this is the only effective way of achieving success. Then an interesting thing happened. As he concentrates more and more on his prayers, he draws even closer to God. His faith becomes deeper and more textured, and he gains an even clearer understanding of the true nature of the world. He realizes that even more than ever that it's his prayer, rather than his efforts, that brings him success. This is the idea of the Imahos on the first level. The idea of the Imahos on the first level is clearly tefillah, that their whole focus was tefillah, but as the Pnei Das writes, of Ayabazeh gam kein skula tv kol shehi, v'yoter kal shanesh yachol liyot chal yachin in pulat ha-tefillah. It's easier for the miracle to happen when you do an action as well. The taking of the shvachos are part of Ishtadlus. But the focus of the mahos is the focus of tefillah. And this explains why, as Reuven Fein, Ben HaMishpatayim, source 24 and 25 notes, that we see throughout the koach of the mahos, the koach of Lei Menu, who went from the changing Xerah from being married to Esav to being married to Yaakov Avinu, to be buried with Yaakov Avinu, to be the mother of the rove of the majority of Shifteka, happened through tefillah. And he says here, Umekubal in 26, Shekol chel kam shol Shifteka baide avos akdoshi. But you know what? Omnam zeh nachon, aval tzrichim hayu gam l'tfilos ha'imahos. Not only did the Shiftei Ka come to the Avos, they came to the tfilos of the Imahos. V'arei b'li tfilot zol zochim l'klum. Without prayer, you reach nothing. And the chelek of the tfilah come from the Imahos. Merosh shirim emrenu elu ha'avos u'migvos ha'shirenu elu imahos, as Bilam says. But we only call the Imahos for... Why aren't Zilpah and Bilah included in the Imahos? Ulama emethi shigama shemolidu harei ba mikoach tefilos anshalay mahos. Because them giving birth was through the tefillah of Rachel and Leah. The yisod of the shifteka is through the Imahos, which is the koach of tefillah. And since Bilah and Zilpah didn't pray individually, but they were blessed through the tefillahs of the Imahos, of Rachel and Leah, we only call the Imahos for, not Bilah and Zilpah. Why? Because the koach of Imahos, umigvaot ashurenu, the koach of the Imahos, it's a koach of tefillah, the koach of prayer. And Bilah and Zilpah did not participate in this koach of prayer on that level that Rachel and Leah David, because it was Rachel and Leah who more than anybody wanted to build the Shiftei Ka. But, as Rabbi Yehudi points out in Source 28, Shebila v'zilpa hem chelik bilti nifrad mirachav aleya. But push comes to shove, Rachel and Leah are intrinsically connected with Bilhah and Zilpah. That Rachel says, you know, Danani Elokim v'gam shama v'kali, that he gave me this child, even though it wasn't a child, she considers it her child, she needs Bilhah. And in fact, he says, L'Rachel tzadecha mitbateba v'sida sheni b'Bilhah. That there's almost two sides of the coin. There's a Rachel side, and the other side is a Bilhah. A Leah side, and the other side is Zilpah. Hashvachos heim sad ha'achori ha'mesutar shalemos. The shvachos are like this hidden side of the imahos. And in fact, as the Sefer Nashim v'Tanach Bas Bakariot Chazal notes, in George 29, Bilhah, why was she called Bilhah? One of the reasons was, or a number of reasons, Shemafila v'yofya, one of the reasons is, Behala ki hayta mitzta'eret u'mitbahelet al yel gvirata kara, that she herself was upset, she was all emotional, that her mistress didn't have a child. Zilpah, that she cried tears that Leah would have fallen into the hands of Esau. That Bilhah and Zilpah are interlinked with Rachel and Leah. In fact, the Sfarim say that Bilhah was given to Rachel Dafka because there's an idea of the letter Hey. Hey Lechem Zara is a skula to have children. And that you should really name a girl having the letter Hey in the name. All the Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, and Leah had the letter Hey in it. Rachel did. So Bilhah has two Hays in it. One of the Hays, Ke'ilu, went to Rachel. It's as if they were one unit. But my friends, this is exactly the point of level one. That although the Shvachos, Bilhah, and Zilpah were the medium in order to them themselves be blessed with children, and for their own children to be, Bilhah and Zilpah's children be considered part of Shivtekah, it was through the tefillos of the Imahos and the Shivchos, the Shvachos were just the Hechitimsi, the medium to have the children. They were just the Ishtablos. But they were Davka not called the Imahos to underscore this first lesson, that our focus is on tefillah, not on Ishtablos. By making Bilhah and Zilpah part of the Imahos to be six, we would be taking away from the focus. We would say, you see how important Ishtablos is? You see, Bilhah and Zilpah are part of the Imahos. No. By Bilhah and Zilpah not being included, Chazal are teaching us a fundamental lesson. Don't confuse means with tefillah. Don't confuse Ishtablos with tefillah. That you can't compare the two. Don't put them on the same level. The Shvachos, albeit important, albeit the Echitimsi, albeit the means, albeit a tremendous function, and albeit that they had these children, and they were two sides of the same coin, I understand all of that. But we don't call them the Imahos, because they're not on the level of prayer. And the level of prayer is its own distinct level, and we need to make that distinction. Therefore, Rachel and Leah, whose whole focus has to leave Rachel, the struggling with my sister, it's a struggle over tefillah, it's a struggle over connection, it's a struggle over building the Shivtekah. They who struggled, they who davened, they are the ones who were blessed with these children. Vayeskuru kimet Leah, Hashem remembered Leah, Hashem remembered Rachel. That's the theme of this section. That, my friends, is level one. Where are the Shvachos on level one? The Shvachos aren't there to underscore the importance of tefillah and that Hishtavlus and the medium that we have to go through in order to show that it's natural and in order for us not to fall into the trap to think that that we rely on the natural in order to have the chlios that we need in order to get our tefillos answered. For all of this, we have to focus in on tefillah for tefillah per se. The second level, as I mentioned, is taking this idea a little bit deeper, a little bit further, but I'd still like to call it level two. The Medrash, in this interchange between Yaakov Avinu and Rachel Imenu, God didn't stop me from having kids, he stopped you, the Medrash says the following, 27. Who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? The Medrash reports a dialogue which took place between the husband and wife. Rachel, did your father treat your mother this way? No, he prayed on her behalf. Yaakov, I'm not like my father. He had no children at the time. I already have. Rachel, remember your grandfather, Avram. He already had a son, Yishmael, when he prayed to God on behalf of your grandmother. Yaakov, would you be capable of what my grandmother did? Rachel, what did she do? Yaakov, she had a rival brought into her house. Rachel, if that is the obstacle, here's my maidservant Bilhah. Go to her, I too will become a mother through her, just as Sarah became a mother through her maidservant. And this is indeed what Rav Mul continues to tell us in 27. In the previous verse, Bilhah was called an Amah, Jewish maidservant, and not a Shivcha, which generally means a Canaanite maidservant. In reality, she was one of Lavan's daughters, as Rashi notes in Lamed Aleph Nun, but Rachel gave her to Yaakov as a legitimate wife, Leisha, and not as a concubine, as was Zilpah. Bilhah, however, even when she became pregnant, behaved modestly toward Rachel, her mistress, unlike Hagar. And indeed, it's clearly brought down in the Sfarim that Rachel, and this is a source that we skipped in source number 7b, that Rachel and Leah came from Lavan and his wife, and Bilhah and Zilpah came from Lavan and a maidservant. And all of the Shifteka come from Lavan, which is a fascinating concept in its own right, which is all from the family of Avraham Avinu, all from the family of Shem. So that all of these children are coming from this family line. So when we say that Bilhah and Zilpah were Shvachos, let's understand that they were like half-sisters to Rachel and Leah. Same father, different mother. Now, what is this idea of bringing a maidservant in? So it's a Sforna that we mentioned before in 30a. My jealousy of my co-wife might stimulate the nature of my reproductive system. From Bilhah's ability to conceive and give birth to a child whom I will raise, the functioning of my reproductive system will hopefully be aroused. And as Rav Eifus notes in this new Sefer, Yalkut Yosef Lekach in 31, quoting Rav Mordechai Ezrachi, Birkas Mordechai, that the kinna here, that the jealousy that will be raised, is clearly not negative jealousy, but rather kinna sofri. What's the difference between negative jealousy and positive jealousy? He says, HaMekaneh, in 31, in the bold, Eino mevi madua sheni gadol mimeno v'tov hemenu. In negative jealousy, you say, why is this person greater than me? Why does he deserve to have these things? And you look negatively on, like, on them. Positive jealousy, kinat sofrin shalachet et chetia lemekaneh betzmo. Positive jealousy is an inner reflection. Why aren't I deserving of this? What can I do to make myself better? What can I do to make myself worthy? Not that I want to take away their blessing. Not that I want to wish them bad. But I want to be worthy. Im kein, yotzeh shekinat sofri mikoach hayotzer magbir et hashifa. This type of kinat sofri makes a person greater, makes a person long. V'kasher shofim be'meh magim masigim. And when you really long for something, then you achieve. And it was this longing of having this shvati, it was this longing to be part of building the Shiftei Ka, which was a good spiritual journey and ambition, that this is what's going on here. But then when you read this Sforno, and you read this Medrash, you're struck with an obvious question. Okay, maybe it's not so obvious, but when you think about the question that we're about to raise in Mirat Hashem, you'll say, gee, why didn't I think of that? That was an obvious question, and then you'll agree with me this was an obvious question. What's this obvious question? So I'll tell you. Or not so obvious. If you're going to tell me that jealousy is going to arouse, right, this person has a kid and I don't, well, what do they do to deserve a kid? And I'll do the same thing. We just read the pasuk before, if you remember the beginning of Perek Lamed, Vatekaneh Rachel Bachota. Rachel was jealous of her sister, and she says, why does she have a kid and I don't have a kid? So, I don't understand here. If Rachel already has another woman in the house whom she's jealous of, is that not enough to do this, whatever magical powers that it has of therefore increasing her ability to have children? I understand on the first level, taka, you have to do ishtadlus. Okay, she brings in her maidservant. But if we're not going to hold by this idea of ishtadlus, we're going to hold that it's a certain amount of kinna, a certain jealousy that you have will enable you to have a child. Well, doesn't she have enough jealousy running around? Why was it necessary to to use this tishtadlus of Bilhah. There must be a reason why Bilhah is brought into the picture. And there are a number of answers that are offered, all very similar. The Lev Tahor at length notes the following. He says, what's really going on here in this conversation between Yaakov and Leah is a much more fundamental conversation. And that is, Rachel Imenu is basically saying to Yaakov, I am Ikarul Shabayit, I'm the main part of the house. And to a certain degree, she treated Leah Imenu, again on the level of Rachel Imenu, like an Amma, like a second, like a Shifcha, like a maidservant. And that's what Leah says to Rachel, Hama'akach techet ishi, it's not enough you took my husband, now you want to boss me around and take my tudayim. Like, you've taken my husband, meaning what? You've taken my husband and treated him like you are the only wife. V'chol zman sh'Rachel naga kein b'Leah. And all the while that Rachel has treated Leah this way, lo ho'ila la'zchut m'tzirus la'simanim. Because we almost wonder, she did this incredible selfless act of giving over the signs. Would that not have been enough to be a schus, to make her worthy of having children? The answer is no. Because that schus, as well as all the tefillos, won't help unless you change your behavior. And that is what Rachel is being told by Yaakov Avinu. You want to be able to have a schus, to have a child, you have to get rid of the way you are behaving and acting. Use Sarah Imenu as a model, where she treated Hagar with tremendous amount of respect. And this was Rachel's response. Rachel said, not only am I going to now treat my sister with a proper response, but rather, 35, Ukishmoa Rachel Dvarim Eile, Vatitein Lo Bil Hashivchata Lisha. Not only am I going to treat Leah this way, but I'm also going to treat a maidservant this way. And it will be showing that if I can treat a maidservant this way, with honor and with respect, of course I'm going to be treating my sister this way. It's as if she bent over backwards to show how those who are even on a lower level than her sister, she can raise to a higher level. It was the giving over of Bilhah and the treating of Bilhah that enabled the gates of the Mesiras HaSimanim, of giving over the signs, to be able to enter into Shamayim. And in fact, the Ksava Kabbalah says this, and Rav Yehudi brings this down both from the Ksava Kabbalah as well as from the Klei Yakar, that the dialogue that Yaakov Avinu has with Rachel is the idea, and this is found in 40, Sakota banan lecha mavor tfila. Sometimes there's something blocking tfila from going forward. And what Yaakov Avinu was saying to Rachel Imenu is, you know, yes, you're davening, and davening is important, but if your davening is not happening, look, I mean, mifashvesh b'maisav, and see, is there a sin that is so major that's blocking the tfila from being able to penetrate into heaven? And this was the greatness of Rachel Imenu. Rachel Imenu, instead of just davening more and more, obviously she did that, she also looked inside, and she says, where have I gone wrong? Where can I work on my midos, on my character traits, to become a better person? And that's why, going back to 36, Aksaf Kabbalah says, it was because she didn't show enough love to her sister. And in fact, the Yakut Lekhafto brings down in 38 that just being the loved wife, even if she didn't do anything about it, but she didn't bring Leah closer, is mitkabed bekalon chaveiro, and perhaps was part of the reason for her akras, for her not having children. How careful you have to be, even if indirectly you are responsible for somebody not being treated in the proper way. It's a very, very severe Musar idea that Das Torah brings down, the Yaakov Lekhav Tov quotes. How careful we have to be, even ba'akifim, through us, we are responsible. And the Barbanel says this clearly, that Rachel Imenu should have ensured that Leah was treated better. So what does Leah Imenu do? By bringing in the Shivcha, by bringing in the maidservant, what she's doing is ensuring that she is working on her midos to treat everybody properly. The Kleyucker says it a little bit differently. She says that the mindset of Rachel Imenu was that because I had kinah for my sister, it was a certain type of gaiva, that I thought a certain type of pride, you know, I'm deserving to have children, and, you know, why isn't God giving me children? So the tshuva ramishkal, the tshuva that would be a balance for this type of gaiva, is bringing in your maidservant, who we know that, not to be, you know, jealous that your maidservant has children and not you. That was what Rachel Imenu did on herself, to work on her midos, to break any, and this is the level of Rachel Imenu, this is not you or me, any type of gaiva, any type of this small amount of one-upmanship, of feeling better than anybody else. On this second level, my friends, if on the first level the theme that was found woven through the psukim was tefillah, the theme woven through the psukim on the second level is breaking of one's mitos, how can I become a better person? And Rav Wolbe says this straight out. He says, Anulai banem imena, maybe I'll be built up through her, which is the language by Sari Menu, and also here, Shizachim la'alo geruchnius aidei kelim acherim legamre masher begashmius. In spiritual terms, you need different techniques to grow than in physical terms. In spiritual terms, you grow through breaking yourself. And to the extent that one breaks oneself, to that extent one grows. Kach nimdenet hagdalu shel adam, that is how the greatness of a person is judged. And because the Imahos brought in these women into their house, which breaks a person, and that's chus, they had children. And you see this as well, the Tivat Torah brings down in 42, that when Yisachar is called, because I have rewarded for giving my shivcha to my husband, he says this as well. Why is this reason given? Because this is Shviros HaMidos. That Zilpah was a shivcha of Yaakov, and now she's suddenly become an Eshet Yaakov. And everyone needs to know that if they want their son, says Rav Gamliel, to be like a Yisachar, to be like a Yosef, it's breaking your gaiva, it's breaking your mitos to think that you're the center of the world. It's recognizing that there are other people out there. It's being able to humble yourself. It's able to put yourself in the right position. Why did the Imahos take the shvachos on this level? It wasn't, which is on the first level, stav, some type of ishtavl, some type of, you know, I have to do my effort. No. It was Dafka taking these shvachos. It was Dafka taking these women who were their maidservants and turning them into wives and not being jealous of them and raising their children as if it was their own. That feeling, that ability to overcome personal feelings and personal agendas, it was the medium of their greatness. It's what's built Klal Yisrael. This is the ABC, the foundation, the fundamental building block of what Klal Yisrael are about. That's the Medrash, which again we discussed in the past, where the whole Beis Yisrael is built of Rachel Imenu giving over the simanim. She says, how can I build a house with Yaakov if my sister is going to be humiliated? You can't build a Jewish house that way. And you see the same thing in 43, Lavtachav Emes, Rav Tov Yafem, 44, by Leah Imenu, who when she gets pregnant, she davens that the fetus turn into a girl. She says, even though I so desperately want to have more and more shvatim, if it's going to be at the expense of my sister's pride, that the shvachos have two children and my sister's only going to have one, I am not ready to do that. Did she have to do that? No. But this is a sensitivity. This is sensitivity that Leah Imenu has given us. A tremendous sensitivity of feeling the pain of others. Even though she was pregnant, Hashem as if was saying, this is your child. She was ready to give it up in order not to have her sister feel any sorrow beside him. So it's not only Rachel Imenu with the sensitivity of Leah, you see the sensitivity of Leah to Rachel Imenu as well. This is what the Beis Yisrael is based on. So my friends, on the first level, the whole idea of these psukim is about tefillah. The whole idea of these psukim is about their recognition that everything comes from the hands of Hashem. Don't rely on me, says Yaakov Avinu, daven for yourself. But you have to do ishtadlus as well. But don't allow the ishtadlus to be seen as the cause. The imahos are not considered as part of, the shvachos are not considered as part of the imahos. And the shvachos had children through the tefillah of the imahos. On the second level, the whole theme of these psukim is about an inner reflection, an inner understanding that it's only through working on our midos, their heretz kadma l'Torah, it's only about recognizing that our character traits, which is the foundation of what Torah is built on, it was only when the imahos understood and did that cheshbon nefesh introspection, where can we be better? How can we be more sensitive? What can we do to make ourselves better people? That is why Bilhah was given over. That's why Zilpah was given over. It was to work on their midos. And in fact, the Netziv says that. Why did Leah bring Zilpah as a wife? She says it's not fair. Her sister Bilhah is married as a wife, and she's a servant. I feel bad for Zilpah. Let me make her a wife as well. What is going on here is all kol kulo sensitivity to the feelings of others. That ability to break oneself, that ability to think outside, not only what's good for me, well, wouldn't it be good for me that, you know, one less wife, you know, why should I make my maidservant a rival to me and have to work on my midos? No, it's a sensitivity to my maidservant. Leah said, I'll make Zilpah a wife. It's a sensitivity that there's a world outside of myself. I'm going to daven that this child in me turns into a girl. That is what the Beis Yisrael is built on. Tefillah and midos. On this level, why are the shvachos not considered part of the imahos? So Tzava Kabbalah, the Sefer Asplaklaria, brings it down in 45, says, the Karan HaKatu Shvachot Gamachar Nisuim, the asterisks, the Shvachos are also called the Shvachos even after they get married. You find later on the B'nai Shvachos bow down, the B'nai Shvachos, the way they're treated with Yosef. Why? Lahudia Midat Anvunatam, to show us their humility. Even though halachically they were considered as another wife, they never allowed it to make them feel haughty. And they always looked at themselves on a different level. And that's the idea of shivcha melashon hitchabrut, which is like the word mishpacha. It's about connection. And here, Rav Giloy Messing, in Va'at Alida Kulana, notes very clearly, Yesh Lavin in 46, Shebilah and Zilpah Einam Stam Shvachot. Bilhah and Zilpah aren't just like, you know, the cleaning ladies you may have in your house. Heim Einam Shvachot Sheshimshu Akvirot Habayit Rak B'Shimushim Agashvim Shel Zorchei Habayit. They weren't only involved in the physical maintaining of the house. Hein Hayu Mishamsho B'Kodesh Yoter Masher B'Chol. They were involved in the spiritual aspects more than the physical. Ka'ein, very similar to a mishamesh shel admor. It's like a shamish of a Hasidic Rebbe or of a Rebbe who takes care of the needs of the Rebbe and does whatever the Rebbe needs. This was the Ratzon of Bilhah and Zilpah. Leit batel legamre kapei gevirtehem. V'lafoch evitzonam lechelik min haratzon hagadol shel gevirtam. All they wanted, and that's their anivos, that's their humility, that's their midos, is whatever my maidservant wants, that's what I want. Achein hanayu shvachot. Yes, they were maidservants. Hanayu mevutalot v'knuo. They were humble. Ach ba'ofen achiyuvi shalomila hitbatlut miratzonam achoshi. It isn't in a negative connotation, it's the most positive connotation possible. This is bittul at its best, this is self-nullification at its best. It's atzmut gmura levatel atzmutam. It's independence to give up their independence. And this is why the Torah tells us, Vatikach Vatitein, it was Hitpat L'Gemura. And only with this can we understand that what Bilhan Zilpah wanted more than anything else was to do whatever the Imahos wanted. If Rachel Imenu wanted children more than anything else, if Bilhah could help her by having the child, and Rachel could raise it, Matavu Manayim, that's why when Rachel and Leah called names to their children, Bilhan Zilpah, it's not like an affront to them, that's what they want. This is the greatest joy from them. And in fact, the Zohar says, you know how successful they were? Kol Yemeim Shel Leah VeRachel HaShechina Hayta Shara Etzlehem. When the Rachel and Leah were alive, there was the Shechina, God's presence was on their tent. U'kishemetu HaShechina Lo Yistakam HaBayit V'Sharta V'Beit Bilhah. And when Rachel Imenu died, the Shechina was found on the Ohel of Bilhah. Gevald! These are great women. These aren't just type of shvachos. These are women who understood what it means, bittul at its best. What it means, I want the will of my master as my will. They are a model for us. They are a model what it means to make someone else's will your will. All they wanted to do was the will of Rachel, the will of Leah, with simcha, with tremendous amount of joy. So if that's the case, why don't we have them as part of the Imahos? So he says, Kain, Arba Imahos 47, Sar Rivka Rocha Valeya, Kavu V'chitshu Or Chadash B'vinyan HaUma, Mashen Kein B'Shvachos. Bilo V'Zupahim Shvachot Shal Imahot V'Nitva'ot Bahen, V'Einan Kovot Makom Latzman. Heim Omdot Macharei Imahot U'Meirot Ba'Or Echad, V'al Kein Tifartam V'Kach Sheinam Mosifot, Aim Chadasha L'Arba Imahot. The Arba Imahos offered a different spectrum, different aspect to Klal Yisrael. They don't. They are not their own shining light. They are a reflective light. But you know what, my friends? In a certain way, they are Imahos, he says. They are our Imahos. We have them as our mothers. They are Imahos of Hitbatlut. They are the models for us of what it means to be able to be batel. They are the model for us what it means of the yicholot litbatel klapei gadol v'akabid mimcha u'mikol kach litkadesh litalot maila maila. From the shvachos we learn the koach of hitbatlut, how it's not everyone can be leaders. There's something called followers. There's something called being able to know what your place is. You know, it's like that story of, you know, Johnny who comes home and says, you know, we had play tryouts today, and the mother said, did you get our job? Yes, what's your job? My job is to sit in the audience and clap. Everyone has a job. It's, that may not be the role on stage. We all have a role in this world. The shvachos, and you see this, with the exception of Dan, but even Dan, who just had Shemshon, from God, Asher, Dan, and Naphtali, you don't find the major leaders of Klal Yisrael. From most of the kings are from Yosef, from Yehuda, from Binyamin, not from these Shvatim. Throughout Jewish history, these Shvatim are what we'd call below the radar, but they are the essence of the radar. We have their blood as part of us. They are the models. Yes, they are not the direct shining light. They're the reflective shadows, but it's teaching us the power of what a shadow is. It's teaching us the power of what Hitbatlut is, as the Nesivah Shalom points out so clearly. Kol Zman 48, Shadam Odenu Yesh Eino Yachol Lidavek Hashem Yisbarach. As long as we are a Yesh, as somebody, we can't cling to God. Shu Bechinat Ayin, which is the aspect of nothing. Only when a person is able to move outside of oneself, to have this level of bittul, can you connect to God. As a very famous word of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, on the Pasuk, Anochi Omei Ben Hashem Ben Echem, Moshe Ben says, I am standing between you and the Jewish people, between Hashem and the Jewish people. And on a Hasidic level, the Anochi, Hanochiyut Sheba Adam, it's the ego that stands as a mechitza, as a barrier between us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kol inyanei hadam hagashmi shelo haruchni shelo sovim saviv hayeshuv anichuyu shelo v'zeh umed ben Hashem v'neched. Even our spirituality can be a yesh. Look how much money I gave to Stuka, and look how long I daven, and look, me. That breaks us up. What were the shvachos about on the second level? The shvachos are part of building a shiftei ka. And how are they part of building a shiftei ka? Because the shiftei ka on the second level is built on midos. It's built on breaking your midos. It's built on lessening the focus of the eye. It's realizing that it's not only about me, it's about sensitivity to other people. Whether Rachel's sensitivity to Leah Aminu, Leah Aminu's sensitivity to Rachel Aminu, Rachel Aminu's sensitivity to Leah Aminu once again, Leah Aminu's sensitivity to Zilpah, it's all about sensitivity. And that sensitivity is the core to build the Bais Ne'eman. And the Shvachos embody. In who they are, this core of anivus, this character trait of hibatlut, of the lessening of the eye. And that is the lesson. That is, maybe they're not one of the imahos, you're right. They're not this shining light. And we don't focus it on them as one of the imahos. But nevertheless, they're there. They're there, and the Medrash says they're there. If you go back to source 5, when the Nesim brought 6 wagons, these are for the 6 imahos. They're mentioned, they're found. The 6 steps of Achashverosh's throne, they're found. But they're not the focal point. They can't be the focal point. Because the whole point is about the not being in the limelight. It's being in the back. And I think this lesson of the Shvachos and this lesson of Tefillah is best encompassed in Source 49. In the Tefillah, the Chovos HaLevavos offers that one of the Tzaddikim brings down that you should say after your Tefillah. And in this Tefillah, which is found in 49, he notes very clearly, he says, we stand in front of Hashem after we daven, and we say to Him, I recognize that I humble myself in front of You. And I recognize that You know what's best for me more than I know what's best for me. And I recognize that You will give me which that You realize is what is best for my own good. It's this type of bittul, it's this type of nullification that we need to find in our lives at all times. This is the goal of what service to Hashem is about. When we dive into Hashem, we have to turn to Him not like, I deserve new Hashem, I've been waiting, like, hello? But no, it's really the two together that teach us this such an important lesson. It's the lesson of being able to take the idea of total dependency on Hashem with the realization of how small we are, of knowing what our place is, knowing it's about breaking the eye, and that is indeed how we have to, at the end of our tefillah, says the Chovos HaLevavos, turn to Hashem with this understanding of the messages that we've learned today, the total dependency on Hashem, and knowing our place. And I'll conclude by noting that it's brought down in the Sforim. I've had the schus to be there, and you too can come, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, on your next trip to Eretz Yisrael. There is it's brought down in the Sforim, that there is a Kever Nashim, which is called the Kever HaImahos in Tveria. And in this Kever HaImahos are buried very, very special women, Yocheved, Miriam, as well as Bilha and Zilpah. That they may not be in the center of Eretz Yisrael, they may not be in the center spiritually of Eretz Yisrael, of Marisach Bela, which we've spoken about, is the sister city to Shalayim. They may not be in that place, but they're also in a place of Kedusha. They're placed in one of the 4 holy cities of Tveria, and that they too are a place for people to come and daven, and people come to connect with them, because they too have a very strong part in who we are as Knesset Yisrael. And my bracha for all of us is that these majestic maidservants who understood that their role was to be the Hishtadlus, to be the medium of their maidservants. They understood that their desire was their maidservants' desires. These majestic maidservants set up for us as a model that we too should be majestic maidservants, klapei Ribono Shel Olam, towards Hashem, and that we should recognize our place in this world and recognize that we are here also for things larger than ourselves, and ultimately it's that complete reliance on Hashem and to do our shlichus and to do our mission for which Hashem has sent us to this world.